Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio. Today is Friday the 13th, 2009, at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today's topic, what does a second grader pay attention to? And with us in our virtual studios is Carol Copper, a retired second grade school teacher, here to share her insights on working with second graders and what they pay attention to. Before we get into things, I'd like to bring your attention to some upcoming shows. A week from today, we're going to have author Mick Quinn on the show. He's the author of The Uncommon Path. Mick was a business executive in New York, had started several businesses and sold them, and was in a venture, had some office in the Twin Towers, and after 9/11, changed his life. So he's going to share his insights pre and post 9/11, and he's going to share his insights from his book, Uncommon Path. So that'll be a real fun and exciting show. The following week we're going to take off because of Thanksgiving holidays, but we will be back, I think, on the 4th. The topic will be coaching adolescent children with ADD, and we will have as a guest Diane Ladd, who is a ADD coach up in the Washington area and actually specializes in working with adolescents. So that will be a great show. Other shows in December, we're looking at having one show on pressure, rescheduling the show on what is an ADD coach and how to find one. And then in January, Linda Rogge will be on, and she'll actually be she's going to be coming in talking about coaching adult women, mature adult women who have attention deficit disorder. So that'll be a real exciting show. But enough of that. Let's get into today. Again, today with us in our virtual studio is Carol Copper. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Before we start talking about second graders and your insights, can you just give our listeners a little bit of background and history, I guess, on you and your teaching?
Okay. I am a retired teacher at this point. I've taught primary second graders for about 30 years. Working with the second graders, you learn pretty soon along the line that they don't always learn as you would want them to learn and make the progress. And then I began to look for reasons as to why they were not making the progress that I was looking for. Generally, you had to check the child in many settings, whether it was academic or social, and just their personal habits, to see what motivated them or helped them to function.
Okay. There is a coincidence with her last name, everyone. She is, in fact, my mother, and I'm actually kind of having her on because she is a second grade school teacher, and she's got a couple points that she's always talked to me about that I always found very insightful that I think that many of you will enjoy. And I guess if you can because we actually have kind of a list of a little bit to cover the second point that you have about loudly raging on with children. Can you speak to that, to our listeners, about that situation and what your insights are?
Yes, I can. In general, I discovered with children and in dealing with other people outside of the second grade classroom, a lot of times we get upset with kids with things, whether they've broken family rules, house rules, or whatever, and the tendency is to loudly scold them or let them know. About all that does is let you vent. It doesn't really do the child much good. They just listen or maybe listen, but they tune it out once the rampage or the storm is passed, and they go quietly back to doing what they were doing previously because they've learned that there's no further consequences. The adults are just raging and venting, and they don't have to change there's no need to change, and they continue. However, if you just quietly state the fact that you're disappointed with what they did and what their consequences are, it carries more of an impact on them. And you have to remember that the consequences are the things that you have to keep in mind. The more you talk, basically the rule to remember is the more you talk, this is interpreted by the child as you're willing to negotiate, so the consequences are not a firm pat deal. And we don't realize that sometimes, but the talking is an aspect.
The one thing that you always said about this that was really kind of an aha for me and looking at it differently is when you're raging loudly at the child,
mm-hmm.
Know that the kid is actually the one that's in control.
Yes, they are, because they can tune you out. They
and,
can basically ignore you.
And it's strange to kind of think about that, because you would think when, like, I'm sitting here and I do this, you know, I catch myself on with my own kids, is you're just kind of ranting on, thinking you're going to control the situation, you're going to get them to pay attention to what they should pay attention to, when it's funny, if you really think about it, in a weird sense, they're actually in control of the conversation. They're kind of controlling what you're doing, because they tune you out and just going on their own business.
Right. You've broken, actually, or you have two problems when you're raging. First of all, you're raging, and they're going to tune you out. Second of all, when you're raging, you're also doing a lot of talking. And as I just said, that the more talking you do, the less effective you are, because it's negotiable. And so they're not going to take you at face value on that.
Mm. What's another insight that you've come as a result of your years working with second graders?
Pardon me?
What's another insight that you've had after working with second graders for so long?
One of the big things about working with second graders is establishing rules. You need positive rules. And kids have a difficult time coming up with these rules. One of the curriculum guides said that they should come up with their own classroom rules. And we would go into this, and I would discuss that I only wanted positive rules. They could not have no or not in a rule, and that was extremely difficult for them to come up with. They were only accustomed being told what they could not do or should not do, and so they couldn't come up with the rules to turn the rules around and put them in a positive mode as to what they should do was a challenge for them, because they couldn't think that way. You had to kind of focus in and pay attention, because they would come up with, like, you don't talk. Well, we can't use the word don't, so you would steer them towards or help them focus into the fact that they need to talk quietly, along those lines. They can always figure their way around a rule if it's a negative rule. If you tell them that they are not to run down the hallway as your classroom rule, well, that doesn't mean they can't skip down the hall, they can't crawl down the hall, or they can't wear those sneakers that have the wheels on them and roll down the hall. But if you just have the positive rule that you walk everywhere inside the building, then everything's an infraction.
That's interesting. So rather than telling what they're not supposed to do for them to figure out a way around it, you tell them what they are to do.
Right.
And so you get them to pay attention to what they're supposed to do, and it rules out all the other options, because if
right.
you are just to walk slowly down the hall, that means that you are not to skip, jump, rollerblade, and anything else.
Right. It covers everything else. So you limit the number of rules that you have to have.
And the key, the show's all about insight. It's all about what you pay attention to. And so as parents, we're all conditioned, and even you entrepreneurs out there tell your employees what they're not supposed to do. But the key is to move away from that and not tell them what they're not supposed to, but tell them what they are to do,
right.
to, A, simplify the rules, and then limit the loopholes, if you will. So
right.
Very useful.
Yes, they are. And kids respond to that. They know what they're not supposed to do. And if it's stated in a positive manner, then they learn pretty quickly. It's just difficult for them to come up with it, because most of the rules they have in life are negative rules.
Mm. We scheduled this show for 15 minutes because we have some other commitments, and all of a sudden I'm looking, there's like 5 minutes to go. So,
okay.
Wow, I should have done this for 30, but or scheduled another time. But speak to the one about don't give children the opportunity to lie. I think that actually is very insightful. I think that they might find that useful. So Can you
speak
to that?
Not only true of children, that's true of anybody. If you say, did you do this, there's the assumption that you don't really know whether they did it or not. And whether it's adults or children, they're going to take the chances and say no. So you've just given the child the opportunity to lie. If you ask them, did you eat the last cookie in the cookie jar, and they say no because they think maybe you won't know that, even though they have cookie crumbs all over the front of their shirt. But if you ask them, why did you eat the cookie, then in my experience, generally if they didn't do it, they will tell you they didn't. But if they did, that never crosses their mind because they assume that you know that they did, and then they begin trying to explain or come up with an excuse or just say, I don't know. But you've taken away that opportunity to lie, so then you're not putting them in double trouble for not only the infraction of whatever they did, but the lying aspect of also.
Or having to get to the root, because if you give them the opportunity to lie, and you know you lie, then you have to work your way through that till you can actually get to the other side of the motivation to address what was really going on. So it actually makes it a little bit even harder for you to address the situation.
Right. In the classroom, I generally avoided most of that kind of thing. With kids would come up and tell me something or tattle it, and something was going on, in, like, whether it was the bathroom or the line or something. And I just adapted it as if I said to the child, did you do this, they're of course going to say no. So generally the way I handle that was say, you know, I don't know, I wasn't there, but I do know this, at this point you have disrupted the instruction time of this classroom, and that's what you're in trouble for now, because I'm having to stand here discussing this with you. So that I took away that opportunity to lie or to come up with, you know, whatever they were, because you can never get to the bottom of it if you didn't actually see the incident. And that was a very handy tool in working with kids, because I took the focus away from whether they did or did not do something that they weren't supposed to, but the fact that I'm having to discuss this now, and you can't dispute that because you've taken away the instructional time.
We've got about 2 minutes to go. Not to put the pressure on you, but and to kind of jump around, that, can you speak to the other point about discussing an incident or wrongdoing needs to be limited in the background as to why? And just to give you a little heads up, about 30 seconds to go, I'll put some music on so that you kind of know we're getting there. But if you could speak to that, and if I don't get a chance to say good thanks and everything, I appreciate you having you on the show. Maybe we'll have to have you back. But if you could talk about that, that would be great.
Okay, I'm assuming that you're talking about when you're discussing something that the child's done that they should not have done. They know what they did, so you really don't have to do a whole lot of discussion. You can state what they did. You can have them repeat back to you what they did wrong, and that's the end of the discussion. Any further discussion is just rehash, and it's not effective. You don't have to keep driving the point. They know. And like I said earlier, the fact that if you're still discussing the same point, they're going to assume that consequences are negotiable at this point. And so they still have a chance of getting away with whatever they were trying to do. So limit the talking. You state what they did that you didn't, that broke the rule, or that you're unhappy with them or disappointed. You ask them to restate what the problem was, so that you're sure that you know what they did wrong. And then you just state the consequence, and that is it. If they continue to question or try to defend themselves, you simply restate, and you keep it as simple as possible. You do not add any more verbiage to it. You just restate, you did this, period. And if they say, but, you just repeat yourself, you did, and that's it.
When you're asking a kid to repeat what they did, I know that with my, I go, what are you doing? It's almost like he'll start to say something different, almost to see if he can kind of get away with it. Do you just ask them that question? Do you say anything to help them figure out? You just ask them and let them
I tell them what they did wrong, and then I ask them to repeat it, because sometimes kids, you know, if they've just done 5 or 6 things wrong and you don't know which one you know about, okay? In other words, you just taught them.
Sorry, that's a little bit loud. Finish your sentence.
Pardon me? Oh, you just caught them at one thing, and that's what the discussion is about. And so you state what it is, and you have them repeat what it is they did that they should not have done. Then you state the consequence, and that's it.
Thank you.
I also only restated things three times, and then I was just pointing. In other words, pick up your clothes, pick up your clothes, pick up your clothes, and then I just point to them. After that, I just keep pointing.
Wow. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. It's excellent. I really kind of appreciate it. We'll probably have to have you back on again because that 15 minutes went really, really quick. But thanks again for your time. And, again, listeners, hit the Attention Talk Radio show page for upcoming shows. And we'll catch you next week.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.